As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Oh, yes, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, won't you? And welcome to our Monday, Labor Day, September the 6th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. Always good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you each and every day. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're not alone, but you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can log on and bookmark BecomeVocalLocal.com to engage in our chat room discussion, or you can pick up the phone call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in at area code 512-904-8014 to join us live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net, bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office, Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's P.O. Box 96 out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Big shout-out, as we love to do each and every morning, to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, 94.3 Elgin, Texas, 1610 AM, Lompoc, California, and AM 1710 Liberty Radio out of Minneapolis and Jordan, Minnesota. And thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences. Our call-in number remains throughout the broadcast, 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. This morning, gold building strength near 1250. The silver closes in on $20, and the wheat prices are climbing, but, of course, the U.S. stock markets are all closed. This is Labor Day, Labor Day USA, Workers of the World Unite. We'll take a historical view of that and just piddle around and discuss the topic. Certainly your calls will be welcome throughout the broadcast. Let's go into that market report. Again, all of the U.S. markets are closed, but that doesn't really impact the spot markets. Let's get it right now. As of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we find gold trading up $2.30 an ounce at $1,248.90. Silver, very, very close now to that $20 mark, up another 3 cents in early trading at $19.88 an ounce. Platinum moves up a big jump this morning, 12 bucks to 1,563. And palladium loses $2 in early trading at $526 an ounce, but still on the bright side of $500. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market this morning, $1,247.20 for a low, $1,252.30 for a high. At $1,248.90, your gold is up year-to-year, $257.10, with a 25.93% return on your investment. The boys in London this morning set the gold price at $1,249.50. We're trading just below that, about 90 cents below that, as of airtime. The Dow Jones Industrial Average on Friday closed up 128 points at 10,448. How that was done, I don't know. They must have brought out the farm jack. The NASDAQ closed up 34 at 2,234, and the S&P 500 closed up 14 on Friday at 1,105. Crude oil this morning off 49 cents, trades at $74.11 for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude. And the U.S. dollar index up 0.09 at 82.10 on the Intercontinental Exchange Inc.'s website. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known, with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tones the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Live free and be prepared. cPanel.com brings you the new patent-pending SunFlow RXL, your 4-in-1 solar hot water heater and water distillation system. Connect to your garden hose, place in a sunny spot. SunFlow RXL solar distills bottle-quality water from undrinkable tap water. Remove fluoride and contaminants that pass through ordinary filters. Solar heat water for cooking, cleaning, and showering. Save hundreds on your utility bills. In case of emergency or disaster, you'll have 20 gallons of fresh water which can't drain into empty city water lines. If things get worse, pour ocean or contaminated water into the unit and make up to 10 bottles per day of delicious solar distilled water with no filters to clog. The SunFlow RXL sets up in seconds and fits in many bug-out bags. Perfect for off-grid and camping. Includes several feet of tubing to reach your kitchen. Please visit cPanel.com, spelled S-E-A-Panel.com. Systems start at $99. Enter Oracle into the coupon box for a free stainless steel card knife. cPanel.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back once again to our Monday, September the 6th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. I'm sure this is Labor Day where you are, too, if you're in the United States of America. We come at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Of course, our call-in numbers are 512-904-8014 and 866-841-1065. Unfortunately, I can't make the connection with the phone box, so you'll just have to hang on. I'll keep trying to connect that, and I'll let you know as soon as I'm able to open the phones to the audience. Lots of information on the news today, but let's go back in one more time. For the benefit of those audiences just joining us after the top-of-the-hour news and weather break, we find gold trading up $2.30, even though all of the U.S. markets are closed. The spot market is open today. Gold trading up $2.30 at $1,248.90 an ounce. Silver up 3 cents at $19.88. It's 12 more pennies to go, and we'll see $20 silver. I'm looking forward to that. Platinum up $12 this morning at $1,563, and palladium off $2 at $526 an ounce. Again, the boys in London set the price at $1,249.50, but your gold right now stands $257.10 above where you bought it a year ago for a 25.93% return on your investment. In the foreign exchange market this morning, the Canadian loonie up 42 basis points, trades against the U.S. dollar at 96 cents, the Mexican peso up 6, exchanging against the U.S. dollar at 8 cents a pop, and the euro off 17 basis points at $1.29. The British pound moves down a strong move this morning, 0.60%, yet exchanges against the U.S. dollar at 154, and the Swiss franc up 19 at 99 cents a U.S. still a very good position for that Swiss franc. Go in and just cut it a little bit. I'm going to go right out of the encyclopedia today. We've got a lot of news to go to. And I'm just going to lay out a little bit here on Labor Day, then we'll jump into the news basket, and then we'll come back into the encyclopedia, and hopefully we'll be able to take your calls throughout the broadcast as well. But Labor Day in the United States, this out of the Encyclopedia Americana 1950s issue. Of course, this article was likely written much earlier than that. Labor Day in the United States, the first Monday in September, is a legal holiday in the states and the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, Hawaii, and Alaska. Isn't that curious? That tells you how old this article is, all right? In the states, and also the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, Hawaii, and Alaska. Of course, Alaska is number 49, Hawaii is number 50. This was written before 1959. The celebration of this day was inaugurated by who? By the Knights of Labor. That's the capital K Knights here, the Knights of Labor. That's like the Knights of the Mystic Sea or something, you know, these secret societies, who in 1882 held a parade in New York, all right? Labor Day parade, you know, red flags, you get the idea. And again in 1884, when a resolution passed by George R. Lloyd, one of the Knights of Labor, was passed, recommending that parades be held on Labor Day. According to an article entitled Labor Day in the Bulletin Number 29 of the United States Department of Labor, published in July of 1900, Oregon was the first state to legislate for general observance of Labor Day as a legal holiday. Yeah, pretty left out there on the left coast. Anyway, continues here, says this law, enacted on February the 21st of 1887, see here, I want to see, just jump up and review a little bit. This law, enacted February the 21st of 1887, specified the first Saturday in June as Labor Day. But in 1893, the day of observance was changed to the first Monday in September. So since 1893, this we've been doing Labor Day, all right, this day, each month, on September. Other states which passed similar legislation in 1887 were Colorado on March the 15th, New Jersey, April the 8th, New York, May the 6th, and Massachusetts, May the 11th. All these states set the first Monday in September as the holiday. In Europe, the celebration of the 1st of May as Labor Day commenced in 1890. Now, get your red flags out. Go parading around on the streets. Well, you know, that's the way things go in this wonderful world that we live in. All the markets, again, as I've said before, are closed. Today, let's go back into the news basket for a moment. The Nabucco pipeline may get $5 billion from the European, the EIB, it's the European Investment Bank, the EBRD, and the World Bank. All right, now this is a September 6th article, new news off of Bloomberg. The Nabucco or Nabucco pipeline venture to carry natural gas from the Caspian Sea to Europe signed a mandate letter with the European Investment Bank. You know, if Adolf Hitler had his way, he would have put a railroad, it could have been like a NASCO corridor, would have put a railroad all the way from Germany down to basically the Persian Gulf. Kind of what he had in mind. Would have been a pretty good thing, too. But, of course, you know, nobody really wanted him to do that. It would have given him a little bit of a leg up against good old Mother England. But they crushed his efforts to do that. But it would have been interesting, because had he done that and had been able to expand the way that they had planned, they would have had a pipeline system much like we have in Alaska already long ago in place. But, you know, that's hindsight is 2020, those Nazis. The Nabucco, again, pipeline venture to carry natural gas from the Caspian Sea region, you know, it's the home of the Khazars, to Europe, signed a mandate letter with the European Investment Bank, the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development. Now we're right back into World War II. These banks all came on at that time. And the World Bank for loans as much as 4 billion euros. How much of our money is going to be put into this, you know? The EIB may contribute 2 billion euros. Vienna-based Nabucco Gas Pipeline International said today in a statement on its website, the EBRD's package is as much as 1.2 billion euros, and the World Bank's International Finance Corporation unit will pay about 800 million euros. That'll give you an idea of the kind of money that we would need to lay out to put in an adequate pipeline all the way from Prudhoe Bay to Seattle, Washington. let's get our get access to the Arctic resources there. Why are we cut off from Alaska? Alaska is such an incredible resource base for this country that we should never discount it. But unfortunately, these dumb batards keep putting us over the barrel. This morning, crude oil running at $74.11 a barrel, when they have, you know, every possible place to stockpile oil, including somebody's 55-gallon drum in the backyard is overflowingly full. And they're down there now in the Gulf of Mexico, you know, talking about these deep water moratoriums in order to keep this price up, you know. You get the jackboot off of this system, and we could have gasoline in the 35-cent range again. Well, maybe. Should be about 35 cents a gallon. Any more than that's a ripoff. Continuing, the venture shareholders, which include Germany, well, it's about time they got back in on this pipeline, and Vienna, plan to provide 30% of the financing for the 7.9 billion euro pipeline themselves, with the rest coming from loans. Nabucco had said that it aims to secure a third of the entire investment from international financial institutions. Of course, that goes right back to Agenda 21, the international financial institutions, one of the first go-to boys for Agenda 21. The mandate letter, they signed a mandate now, the mandate letter formalizes the conditions under which the three IFIs will conduct their appraisal of the Nabucco project and provides an indication of the potential level of financing. Well, what are they doing with all of this piping anyway? The idea is to cut Russia out of the picture, Mother Russia and all of the vast oil reserves out of the picture as we go into the Caspian Sea and Turkey instead. We'll be right back.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Recently published long-term studies have added to concerns that cell phone radiation may be linked to various human health effects. Mobile phone radiation heats the side of the head and thermoelectrically interacts with the brain. Bluetooth devices and unshielded headsets convert the user's head into an effective, potentially self-harming antenna. Pong is the first scientifically proven radiation form-fitting case that protects your iPhone and latest BlackBerry models from the rigors of heavy-duty use. Pong uses a patent physics-based solution to redirect the flow of this energy. Pong also reduces intense EFI hotspot radiation by over 85%. Pong's special silicone formula guarantees that your phone maintains full signal strength and battery life. Pong is certified by FCC accredited test agencies to reduce cell phone radiation using the SAR analysis method. To get yours today, go to the OracleBroadcasting.com website and click on the banner in the center of the page that says Reduce Radiation Now.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And so that's coming at him from every angle. You know, Russia is not well thought of in the world, especially according to Zbigniew Brzezinski and his great chessboard. You know, so they're going to come off from the opportunity to market their petroleum products, which they have vast and plenty of, by bypassing them with a pipeline. But, of course, now we've got this other thing hanging over our heads, too, and that's the big fires that they had in the wheat and the droughts and all of the other thing. Well, wheat consumers are going to get used to paying higher prices. Welly Rang says, experts say, this by Luzi Ann Javier, September 6th, writing for Bloomberg News. Here's the article. Wheat consumers will have to get used to a new price level as importers pay for the grain amid competition for U.S. supplies. Now, very important first sentence there. All right. We've got plenty of wheat in the United States. We didn't have a drought here. There's going to be plenty of wheat in the United States. Part of the problem that we're going to see developing here is all the speculators rushing into the marketplace. You know, Bernard Baruch and boys, that kind of company. All the speculators. And they're going to drive up the prices of wheat. Why? Well, because they can hold the Asians over a barrel and charge them exorbitant prices for wheat in their time of need. That's the way competition and open markets work. But wheat consumers, again, will have to get used to a new price level. So you might want to be watching the price and tracking it in your stores. I don't know how many of you bake your own bread. I pulled this as a trick a couple of years ago. It didn't really seem to help me. We're forever being bludgeoned with the threat of higher wheat prices. I got quite a bit of whole wheat flour and white flour and all of the various and sundry baking products necessary to make my own breads. And put them in 5-gallon pails with a little bit of dry ice, seal them all up in there real nice, but I haven't needed them yet. But you might consider that for yourself as a hedge, especially if you feed a lot of bread around the kitchen table. Single guy doesn't eat much bread, but I'm stocked if I need to. Wheat prices in the world will still be going up because infrastructure in the U.S. is not adequate to immediately meet surging demand. All right, so there's a lot of demand. Demand, it's a very important word. Anytime you talk economics or sustainable development, always focus on that concept of demand. Continuing here, he says, Franciscus Welirang, the chairman of the Flour Mills Association in Indonesia. You see? All right. Wheat prices in the world. Indonesia. Yeah, in Asia. The U.S., the world's largest wheat shipper, doesn't have enough port capacity, all right, to move all the wheat ordered by importers after Russia. All right. What are we saying? Are we having a shortage of wheat? No, we got plenty of wheat, but we don't have enough port capacity to dump all of our wheat in it. But why are they going to dump all of our wheat in it? Well, because they'll be able to get more money in Asia than they can here locally. So we'll pick up the brunt of that. We'll underwrite that by higher price of wheat and wheat products. Anyway, after Russia, the world's largest wheat grower last year extended a ban on exports. Welirang said by phone from Jakarta, buyers are rushing to secure supplies, causing ships to pile up at U.S. ports, said Welirang, a director at PT Indo Food Sooks Makmur, India, Indonesia's biggest maker of instant noodles. Yeah. Instant noodles, you know. You know what instant noodles are, right? You can get them in a variety of flavors if you can stand the MSG that comes with it. Wheat futures surged to $8.68 a bushel, the highest in almost 2 years, on August the 6th, a day after Russia announced a ban on exports. Now, you know that the farmers aren't going to get a bonus here. The wheat's already in the silos, or the wheat's already up in the grain bins. They're not going to get any bonus here, but the bankster gangsters in Washington and in New York will certainly make plenty. And the people that run all of the ports on the West Coast, the left coast, they'll get plenty too. But, of course, that's China. The grain has jumped 74% from this year's low on June the 9th as importers sought an alternative supply after cheaper wheat from the Black Sea region began to dry up. Prices jumped 3.9% on September the 3rd after Prime Minister Vladimir Putin said Russia will extend the ban until next year's harvest. I wonder how many shares of U.S. wheat he was holding on the future market, which is typically completed in November. The ban imposed from August the 15th amid Russia's worst drought in at least half a century was originally set to lapse on December the 31st. You know, you can make a lot of hay with these droughts and floods and earthquakes. This is the kind of stuff that FEMA, Emergency Management Agency, just absolutely love. All right? This is the stuff they love. This is what advances the hazard mitigation planning system globally. These kind of headlines, if they can just get it on the front of the New York Times so that they can publish them in reprints, this is the kind of stuff that really helps to obtain public buy-in at the local council meetings. A ban again imposed on August the 15th amid Russia's worst drought in at least half a century. Al Gore ought to like this one too. Oh, global warming, droughts, fires, was originally set to lapse on December the 31st. Russia accounted for 14% of global exports of wheat. You see, so 14%, so we still got 86% of wheat available. So why? Well, it's all money, folks. Follow the money. Price discussions, the United Nations Food Price Index, their food price index surged in August to 175.9 points, the highest level since September of 2008 as wheat prices jumped. No inflation, though, excluding energy and food. No inflation excluding energy. That would be your electric bill, your natural gas, your heating oil, your gasoline, your diesel, and food. No inflation, though. All right. It's the way they do it in Wall Street. Continuing, says that prompted the Food and Agricultural Organization to call an extraordinary in quotations, an extraordinary, you don't want these guys meeting in extraordinary plenaries. Guarantee it. Meeting of policymakers on September the 24th. Where? Not in Dublin. No, they're meeting in Rome. They're going right to the Green Pope. Going to Papa for this one. To allow importing and exporting nations to discuss, quote, appropriate reactions to the current market situation. Appropriate reactions. Reactionaries. This is interesting. The quote unquote biscuit industry. The biscuit industry. Biscuits? Biscuits and gravy? I'm getting hungry already. The biscuit industry may be among the worst affected, where? Not in southwest Missouri. In Indonesia, as it relies more on the low-protein wheat imported from the Black Sea region, the bulk of it supplied by Russia, Wellrang said. Wheat prices are likely to sustain their rally in the fourth quarter as the backlog of vessels carrying U.S. grain cargoes further tightens supplies. Importers in Indonesia have sought more from supply from Australia, the U.S., and Canada, as Russia's share in the country's wheat imports slumped to 3%. Remember, this is only 14% of the market. If all of the rest of the markets globally were to just bleed off a little bit here and a little bit there, we could more than easily cover this shortfall. This is another article off of Bloomberg. Blair mulls canceling London book signing after the Dublin protests. For those of the heard the Oracle Unleashed broadcast, of course, Doug Owen reported off of his blacklisted news on the same article. We talked about it for a little bit. But here's Tony Blair, new news off of Bloomberg, Kitty Donaldson writing. Tony Blair said he may cancel a book signing session in London to promote his memoirs, if anyone really cares, amid concerns about security after the former UK premier was pelted with eggs, and I must say shoes, at a similar event in Dublin. Remember when the boys were throwing shoes at Jorge Bush? Well, Blair's getting his shoes, too. Blair, Britain's longest-serving Labour prime minister. Oh, Labour Day. Curious. Another one of these socialist pukes. Is publicizing his 736-page A Journey. A Journey. Too bad the journey didn't end with a rope. Published by Random House last week. Television pictures 2 days ago showed Blair being pelted with shoes, eggs, and plastic bottles. I wonder if they bothered to finish drinking their spring water before they just pitched it at him. Well, we'll be right back.
This is Jack Blood, your radio gun. You're listening to Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of tyranny smashing cutting edge talk radio.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Paper is poverty, is only the ghost of money and not money itself." Well, here we are in 2010, and we know that all too well. We're in a global recession. The whole world is going for gold to back up their wealth. The only question is, where do you get your gold or precious metals? Forget the banks, forget Wall Street. Don't call a stranger or a fly-by-night gold broker. Get your gold from my guys that I trust at Wholesale Direct Metals. They have a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau and zero complaints by their customers. Wholesale Direct Metals also tries to beat everyone to your door by offering the best prices. Your gold is at your door quick and easy. Call Wholesale Direct Metals right now for free information. 800-806-6936. That's 800-806-6936. 800-806-6936. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again just a little bit more about Tony Blair trying to become an author here, really. Really. To be frank about it, quote, "I'm concerned," close quote, Blair told ITV's Daybreak program today. Quote, "I don't want to put everybody through a lot of cost and hassle on this Wednesday signing, so I'm thinking about that now," close quote. Blair is scheduled to sign copies of his book at the Waterstone Booksellers LTD. Okay, got it again now. Waterstones Booksellers LTD. All of you listeners over there in England, put that out on your Twitters. In central London on September the 8th. So it's Waterstones Booksellers Limited in central London on September the 8th. He's probably not going to appear, however. Blair said the suggestion that the anti-immigration British National Party, apparently there's some folk over in England are not too happy about all of the illegals there either, is apparently saying they are thinking of getting in on the action. You like that? Getting in on the action, bringing some, you know, some of those dirty, nasty garden variety sneakers to pitch at the Blair. That would be interesting, wouldn't it? And protesting is causing him to think twice about appearing in public this week. Quote, "You just cause a lot of hassle for people and cost," he said. Tony Blair, right? All right. Anyway, New Zealand faces $1.4 billion after an earthquake. Talked about this a little bit on Radio X, Jimmy X's broadcast, where I sat in with Sean filling in for Jimmy X as he's off to New York for a ball game with his daughter. Anyway, we talked a little bit about this. New Zealand faces a $2 billion New Zealand damage bill and a massive cleanup after the Christchurch, its second biggest city, was hit by a magnitude 7 earthquake that closed the central business district. All right? Once again, this is the kind of stuff that FEMA and boys absolutely love. All these emergency managers out there, all these first responders, they make great hay on this. This advances the GIS, GPS, global governance system, and FEMA's model codes and model acts through their subsidiary corporation known as the International Code Council, or the ICC. Authorities placed the city of 348,000 on New Zealand's South Island under a state of emergency. All right? That's called martial law, right? Martial law rule. Placed under a state of emergency. And they love to do that. They like to have these rolling states of emergency. This way everybody gets to wear all their gear. They can get out in their black BDUs and ski masks, you know, help themselves to your property while they keep you in quarantine, that sort of thing. Steal all of your handguns, your gold, your silver, your daughters and sons, you know. That's what it's all about. Authorities placed the city of 348,000 New Zealanders under a state of emergency after the quake struck at 4:35 a.m. local time on September the 4th. Now, that's a horrible time of day, folks. Everybody's in bed. Everybody's in bed. You're groggy. You're sitting there. The bed is shaking. You think it might be a dream. You do a hand check, and then you realize, no, it's not me. It's the bed is shaking, all right? Cutting power, damaging roads, rupturing sewer lines and water pipes, and ripping the facades off of buildings. You gotta be around a big earthquake of this magnitude to understand what ripping the facades off buildings is. It happens. The whole front of the building falls away, and you look into it, it's like a little kid or a dollhouse or something. Anyway, hope you put your hung your clothes up before you retired for the evening. No deaths were reported, fortunately. Prime Minister John Key allocated $5 million New Zealand dollars to a rebuilding fund today, with Economic Development Minister Gary Brownlee to oversee reconstruction. Now, you know, there's a lot of these government corporations all across America and all around the world that invest in cat bonds, catastrophe bonds. You know, that's some of the stuff they do with their CAFRA money. They invested in catastrophe bonds, you know, like Earl ripping its way up the Atlantic seaboard, doing less damage than expected. You know, everything's always less than expected. But they, you know, built it up as high as they possibly could to get people to get in and gamble on the amount of damage done. But this is where John Key is, what he's facing this morning as they look at financing a rebuilding effort. Of course, they're going to use, you know, for New Zealand, state and I guess for federal funds, depending on how they call it, they'll be using a lot of that for the rebuilding of their infrastructure. And why shouldn't they? Of course they will. They can make far too much money on this all over. Aftershocks hit Christchurch yesterday as storms lashed the city. So it wasn't enough to just have a hurricane or an earthquake. Now they had storms, gale force winds and rain too. But continuing, and the state of emergency will remain in place until at least September the 8th, the Ministry of Civil Defense and Emergency Management said on its website. Now, of course, we had a ministry, so to speak, of civil defense here in the United States right after the war. You know, we used to have to build these little bomb shelters in the corner of your basement. Remember that? You put up your little civil defense sticker on the door to let everybody know there was a bomb shelter in your basement. Well, we used to have one of them, but now we just call it the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA. So here in New Zealand, they have the Civil Defense and Emergency Management. And so that would be the CDEM, no doubt, the CDEM, or the CDEMA. Ah, maybe they'll call it that. Here's a quote. We thought it was all over. Craig Ebert, a senior economist at the Bank of New Zealand, who was staying on the 23rd floor of a Christchurch hotel as the tremor struck. Now, here's they're using this word again, all right? We got this out of the news, and we had to kind of figure out what is a tremor. You could say a trembler, you know, as a trembler instead of saying an earthquake. You could say a trembler. That would be a very light earthquake, just a little bit of a shake around, maybe last a second or two. But no, they're using this word temblor. Well, what is this word temblor? This word temblor is Spanish, all right? It's Mexican. It's Spanish for earthquake. Why do they put that in an English-speaking news article from an English-speaking country like New Zealand? Why would they use temblor? Well, I don't know. Said in a telephone interview, here's his quote. This is Craig Ebert. He was on the 23rd floor of a hotel. I've bungee jumped and whitewater rafted, and the fear factor was way beyond that. You're genuinely feared for your life because you had no control. You had no control, and you had no faith either, probably, Craig. Okay? Anyway, the Central Business District of Christchurch was the largest city in the Canterbury region, will remain cordoned off while buildings, roads, and pipes are checked, Mayor Bob Parker said today. Well, this is a big thing, folks. This is a big thing. The NZX 50 index of stocks climbed in Wellington, led by building-related companies. They're in on it now. Insurers fell. Yeah, there's going to be loss claims to pay. New Zealand's dollar rose to 72.41 U.S. cents from 72.07 cents in New York on September the 3rd. The nation's bonds declined, pushing 10-year yields higher, yields to their highest in more than a month. Standard & Poor's said it may cut the rating of Christchurch City Council. Now notice this is Christchurch City Council as all caps, okay? It's Christchurch City Council and Unit Christchurch City Holdings LTD. Christchurch City Holdings LTD. You think that only the United States of America has corporations running it? Absolutely not. Just like Your Town USA is a private company, all right, listed on Dun & Bradstreet. At least they say it right. The Christchurch, they may cut the rating of Christchurch City Council. You understand what we're talking about? Bond ratings, stocks and bonds. Christchurch City Council is a company. It's a corporation. It's a private company, just in case you were wondering. And so is Cleveland, and so is Chicago, and so is Seattle, and so is Your Town. The quake comes as New Zealand, whose snow-capped peaks and verdant valleys form the backdrop to the Academy Award-winning Lord of the Rings trilogy, struggles to rebound from its worst recession in 30 years. That was just a little clue for all of the people that couldn't find New Zealand on the map, but they might have gone to the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and they can remember the mountain scene, all right? Considerable disruption. There will be considerable disruption to both the Canterbury and the national economy in the short term, Key told reporters in Washington today after hosting a three-hour meeting with his cabinet. Quote, there should be an increase in activity once reconstruction and repair kicks into full gear. This is how you're able to make a sustainable city out of an otherwise unsustainable area. This is how you can bring in the international code council's body of model codes and acts and bring all of these buildings that have been damaged by earthquakes up to the international earthquake standards. And those buildings that cannot be brought up to those standards will be condemned and bulldozed down. What an ideal opportunity to build a sustainable community. The Prime Minister said he still intends to depart for Europe on September the 10th, and next month's municipal government elections will proceed as planned. Why are the people even voting in these municipal government elections? Well, it's because they're voting their stock shares. All the people that are members of this other corporation known as the Chambres of Commerce, you know for a fact that New Zealand has a Chamber of Commerce. They also have a city, a sister city right here in the United States of America. Christchurch sister city, I believe, is Seattle, Washington. We'll be right back.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
Take Cartivite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartivite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartivite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartivite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartivite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tone the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartivite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzy noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers, the most dangerous talk show in America.
Weekdays at 9 p.m. Central on Oracle Broadcasting.
So we've returned once again, you know, and in the face of a downturned economy, this kind of bad news can be good news. It all depends on which side of the facade you happen to be on. But we can see here that the government's initial estimates of $2 billion needed to, that'd be 2 billion New Zealand, needed to repair the damage would be equivalent around to 2% of their gross domestic product. That's a real big redistribution of wealth scheme there. Bank of New Zealand's Ebert said, quote, "It'll have as many positives as negatives and probably more positives," close quote. Ebert said, quote, "It's a very concentrated opportunity to get in there and do some work for builders who wouldn't have otherwise been in work," close quote. All right. It's a economic stimulus package here. Let's see. We call up one ringy dingy, two ringy dingy. Hello, is this Harp? We'd like to order an earthquake. What magnitude would you like that in? Oh, maybe about 7.0. Okay, what city? Christchurch, New Zealand. Fine. Would 2:45 a.m. be okay on Tuesday, or would you prefer 4:25 on Thursday? Let's go with the 4:25. Very well, then. Be prepared. Be very, very scared. Well, it's kind of how it works these days. Repair costs. Damage at Littleton Port Company, which handles coal exports at 12 kilometers southeast of Christchurch, will cost millions of dollars to repair. All right. Chief Executive Peter Davey said in a September the 4th phone interview, the container terminal has full electrical service. Littleton said in a statement today, cargo operations were expected to resume by 3 o'clock p.m. local time, with the effect on shipping movements limited. All right. So they're going to be not able to export the coal for a while, and whoever receives that coal, of course, will take it in the shorts for it, having a shortage on their end. That'll drive up the prices over there. These are just these kind of, you know, catastrophe the catastrophes, as Rob Schroeder says, these kind of catastrophes can be very, very good for business. Telecom has obtained enough backup generators and diesel to maintain core services, regardless of Maine's power availability, and continues to attempt to access sites as soon as possible, subject to damage and civil defense requirements, blah, blah, blah. Aftershocks, now these would be the temblers, but they don't say temblers here or tremblers. They say aftershocks. This is common language. This is basic English. Aftershocks as strong as magnitude 6 may occur this week. All right? That's a lot. Aftershock, that's a big aftershock. The government said a severe weather warning for gale force winds was in place until at least 6 a.m. today. It said winds in Christchurch have eased after gusting up to 70 kilometers per hour yesterday. Meteorological Service of New Zealand Limited, chief forecaster Peter Kreft said from Wellington, from his bunker probably, it's good conditions for people to be outside doing recovery work. Yeah, 70-kilometer winds, that's a dang good time to be outside. The earthquake caused minimal disruption to New Zealand's milk supply. It typically would. Cattle are not too affected by earthquakes. They just kind of stand there and rock around a bit. It doesn't, you know, create a milkshake or anything like that. According to the Dairy Trader newsletter filed to Stock Exchange today, Fonterra Corporation, or Cooperative Group Limited, the world's largest dairy exporter, said its plants in the Canterbury region were operating normally. Of course, New Zealand's got farms all around southwest Missouri, too. Come in and buy up, you know, they're buying it on the downswing here. Between 300 and 400 farms have been affected, 150 of them severely, with most damage done to buildings. Electricity's been restored to 95% of the urban and rural power network. Civil Defense said, and it's important to include in this article, I shouldn't make light of it, you know, cattle, when they are in the process, in the cycle of milking, when they're wet, they don't do very well if you don't milk them on a timely basis, and when you're dependent upon modern dairy operations to milk those cows, you'd never be able to milk a herd of 100 or 200 or more head of cattle by hand. And that could be disastrous for those cows. You know, a milch cow produces many gallons of milk a day, and it needs to be milked off or they are really in pain. Goodman Property Trust said its Christchurch assets, which represent about 10% of its portfolio, were largely unaffected by the earthquake following initial inspections, blah, blah, blah. Christchurch, about some 3,500 Christchurch customers were without power as of 3 p.m. local time, and it just continues and goes on and on and on. But it's quite a story, really. Anytime you have a major earthquake like that inside of a major city, a metropolitan city, especially Christchurch, New Zealand, it spells nothing but trouble. Here's more trouble. Netanyahu and Abbas vow to seek a Mideast accord as settlements shadow the talks. Well, what settlements? Well, settlements, you know, the appropriation of land, the building of apartment buildings, enriching the Hebrew boys and impoverishing the Palestinians. This article by Bloomberg, September 3rd, this is Friday's news. Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu agreed to resume peace talks in 2 weeks, even as a dispute over the West Bank settlement building threatens to undercut at the effort. All right, so what's derailing the peace talks this time? Barry? Well, zoning issues, apparently. Both men began direct negotiations yesterday by pledging support for a one-year goal set by Barry the Usurper to settle Israeli-Palestinian differences. The leaders resolved to work on an outline of the fundamental compromises needed to end the conflict. What are these guys over here wasting our time for anyway? Can't they just sit down around a table and figure it out for themselves? No, apparently not. Middle East envoy George Mitchell said after Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton opened her mouth. Part of what we are doing here is creating an atmosphere that is conducive to a final agreement that rests on tough decisions, Clinton said in an interview today with Palestine TV and Israel Channel 2. About the settlements, she answered, quote, we're well aware that there are issues that have to be dealt with, such as the one you referred to at the end of the month. That's legal talk, by the way. Learned that from reading all about how to write a legal brief, you know. That's textbook law 101, that kind of a statement there. that lets the everybody know that they're, well, I don't need to go into it. We'll go into it on another day when we study how to write a legal brief as opposed to a fruit of the loom. Looming over the leaders' next face-to-face session is the September 26 expiration of the Israeli freeze on construction in areas claimed by the Palestinians. It's all about seizing land. This is eminent domain. This is like your Kelo versus New London, Connecticut case, where the Israelis, like Pfizer, come into somebody else's land and then they just seize it. They just take it. That's the way Israel was created anyway. They paid for a little bit up front and then they just started taking it with military force. The obstacle cast a shadow over the first round of talks and made little headway in confronting other disputes such as the status of Jerusalem and Palestinian refugees. Quote, if Israel continues its settlement enterprise, that's a business now, that would be the end of the negotiations, close quote, said Hussam Zumlot, a spokesman for Abbas in Ramallah, the West Bank. Quote, that is the Palestinian position, which the president has explained beforehand and during the talks with Mr. Netanyahu. All right? So Netanyahu comes into these talks knowing exactly the hardline position that Abbas is going to take, and then they take that position, and then they let that be the stumbling block, and they let that be the roadblock on the roadmap to peace. Well, Egyptians aren't happy about it. Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak also pressed publicly in Washington for maintaining the construction moratorium. They're in Washington, D.C., taking up all of this time. God only knows how much we're spending on matzo balls and little cookies to resolve a construction moratorium in that illegitimate box of rocks on the Mediterranean Sea. The president, or the presence of President Mubarak, is more than symbolic. Israeli President Shimon Peres told the reporters in Cernobbio, Italy. I guess he was over there visiting the Green Pope, maybe. Netanyahu said he wants the issue to be discussed only when negotiators begin work on issues where there is more common ground, such as the borders of a future Palestinian state. From both sides, there's a lot of skepticism that the other one is ready to give up. I wouldn't say this is a stupid charade, but I also wouldn't say that this is the show. Kind of interesting, huh? Said John Alterman, director of the Middle East Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington. So they're just wasting everybody's time. I don't want to waste any more time on it. Let's go to this one, find out a little bit more about how Barry the Usurper is all for the worker, right? On this Workers' Day, Labor Day? Yeah, right. Obama is to ask Congress to pay $100 billion research tax credit. He's paying off academia, folks. He's paying off his friends in schools. We'll be right back.
Live free and be prepared. cPanel.com brings you the new patent-pending SunFlow RXL, your 4-in-1 solar hot water heater and water distillation system. Connect to your garden hose, place in a sunny spot. SunFlow RXL solar distills bottle-quality water from undrinkable tap water. Remove fluoride and contaminants that pass through ordinary filters. Solar heat water for cooking, cleaning, and showering. Save hundreds on your utility bills. In case of emergency or disaster, you'll have 20 gallons of fresh water which can't drain into empty city water lines. If things get worse, pour ocean or contaminated water into the unit and make up to 10 bottles per day of delicious solar distilled water with no filters to clog. The SunFlow RXL sets up in seconds and fits in mini bug-out bags. Perfect for off-grid and camping. Includes several feet of tubing to reach your kitchen. Please visit cPanel.com, spelled SEAPanel.com. Systems start at $99. Enter Oracle into the coupon box for a free stainless steel card knife. cPanel.com.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds,
and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Monday, Labor Day, September the 6th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, now starting our second hour. We come at you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. You can always become vocal local if you like in our chat room. Just log on and bookmark becomevocallocal.com to engage in that discussion. Throughout the broadcast, ordinarily, you can pick up the phone and call in. But today, unfortunately, and really unfortunately, considering a lot of people have the day off and the luxury to be able to call in today, our phone system doesn't seem to be functional. So I'll keep monitoring that and let you know as soon as it comes up, if it does, during the broadcast. In the first hour, went into a big basket of news, all kinds of sundries of stuff off the Bloomberg website and elsewhere. Looking at a little bit stronger move in this morning in the gold market, up $2.30 at $1,248.90 an ounce. That's good news for the gold bugs, and equally good news is another 3 cents upward move in silver at $19.88 as it closes in on the $20 mark. This piece of news off of Bloomberg by Nicholas Johnson and Catherine Dodge. President Barry the Usurper, I guess really the proper way of addressing him, focusing on ways to spur economic growth, all right, with less than 2 months to the congressional elections. Doesn't that just sum up the whole little bit here? You know, for those of you that joined us on Sunday, we kick off Hal Anthony's new broadcast here on the network, Behind the Woodshed. Hal Anthony, where he likes to open a supersized can of heaper, give everybody a heaping helping of whoop-ass, has moved to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. And enjoyed his broadcast and presentation this past Sunday. But we'll be, we were talking a little bit, and he mentioned in his broadcast the distinction that he draws, that this news that we call news off the great internet regurgitorium oftentimes is little other than public notice. All right, public notice. This is the way that they inform you of what the various corporations that pose and pass for government are doing. Because it was in the news, and they can point back to an article, they can say, well, you should have known about it. It was in the news. Front page news, this off Bloomberg, Barry the Usurper, focusing on ways to spur economic growth. With less than 2 months to the congressional elections, you can see that this is politically motivated. We'll urge Congress, doesn't say that he's going to get it, just making news headlines here. We'll urge Congress to permanently extend and expand a research and development tax credit for businesses, all right? A research and development tax credit for businesses. Well, who do the corporations typically turn to for research and development? Why, academia. And if businesses will finance higher education and the various and sundry places like MIT and others, then they'll get a tax credit for that, all right? So it's just like, you know, supporting the World Wildlife Federation or the Sierra Club. If you, through your philanthropic giving, divert some of your otherwise heavily taxed revenue to these causes, you get a benefit, you get a break, you get a tax break. And so the more you can give to academia, of course, the better trained your employees will be. They call that in Agenda 21 capacity building. This is building the global workforce. This is school to work, right? All right, anyway. The usurper will detail the plan, which would cost about $100 billion over a decade. All right, so that's $10 billion a year more added to the debt of this country. In an economic speech on September the 8th in Cleveland, according to two administrative officials speaking on a condition of anonymity. Anonymity. Anon. Why, mitty? That is the most curious word. phonetically incorrect. There should have been an extra N, would have made it work a lot easier, especially for someone with a weak teeth like me. It's just one of the several ideas the usurper has promised to roll out to encourage hiring. Well, he's promised many things, so we'll just have to wait and see if this ever comes to pass. The unions aren't liking it, though. We'll find out about that right after this.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Recently published long-term studies have added to concerns that cell phone radiation may be linked to various human health effects. Mobile phone radiation heats the side of the head and thermoelectrically interacts with the brain. Bluetooth devices and unshielded headsets convert the user's head into an effective, potentially self-harming antenna. Pong is the first scientifically proven radiation form-fitting case that protects your iPhone and latest BlackBerry models from the rigors of heavy-duty use. Pong uses a patent physics-based solution to redirect the flow of this energy. Pong also reduces intense EFI hotspot radiation by over 85%. Pong's special silicone formula guarantees that your phone maintains full signal strength and battery life. Pong is certified by FCC-accredited test agencies to reduce cell phone radiation using the SAR analysis method. To get yours today, go to the OracleBroadcasting.com website and click on the banner in the center of the page that says Reduce Radiation Now.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with a look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And once again, welcome back to our Monday, September the 6th, 2010, live two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local this Labor Day, coming to you Monday through Friday as we do right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, right back into the news box under this Bloomberg article written by a Holly Rosenkrantz. Unions spurn Democrats as seen as turncoats on health organizing. Interesting. Labor Day, unions, the Knights of Labor. Well, let's see what they have to say. Representative Zach Space. Zach Space. Sounds like something you see on morning cartoons with the kids, right? A two-term Democrat running for re-election in Ohio faces an online campaign urging voters to boycott his candidacy. The anti-incumbent pitch isn't from Republicans or Tea Party activists. The website, skipaspace.com, is backed by four unions that say they refuse to work for Space's return to Congress after he have voted against Barry the Usurper's health care legislation. There you go, folks. Unions like that health care legislation stuff. Union workers like to take money out of somebody else's pocket to pay their high wages. Haven't been one myself. I know that feeling. Leaders of organized labor helped Democrats win the White House and expand their control of Congress 2 years ago. Funny, you know, how silent the unions were on cap and trade. Funny how they didn't come to their aid of the mine workers and the iron workers and all of the people that will be adversely impacted by cap and trade legislation and the reduction of coal-fired plants and all of the impacts that will happen in the steel industry as coal becomes more and more and more the evil demon, right? How quiet the union leaders were on that issue. Each union should have the right to support whoever they want to support based on the issues they care about, close quote, said Karen Ackerman, the political director of the 11 million member of the AFL-CIO, the largest U.S. labor federation. Wow, what a study that is. Maybe we should take a week and just do a five-part series on the AFL-CIO one of these days. While union leaders say they are determined to keep Congress under Democratic control, they risk undermining that goal by settling scores with incumbents, said Matt Bennett, who was the White House liaison to governors in the Clinton administration. Of course, as you know, as more and more of the Democrats fail to back their Democrats, incumbents, re-election, it just opens the door for the Republicans to gain more of a majority and gain, you know, perhaps a majority in Congress. That's the way it works. Left, right, left, right. Labor has chosen to take one or two issues and make an example of some Democrats at a moment when control of one or more houses of Congress hangs in the balance. You see how that works? Who do they really represent? Do they represent you and your interests, Miss Leftist this morning, Mr. Right? No, they represent their constituents, the corporations, and unions are big money corporations. The first off-year election in a Democratic administration is the wrong time to be punishing your friends for insufficient loyalty. All right, I'll say that again. Bennett, the vice president of the Third Way, the Third Way, the Third Way, underline that, highlight it. Find out about the Third Way. Didn't we talk about the Middle Way before? We've talked about the Third Way when we talked about social reform. Well, the Third Way, he says, the first off-year election, in other words, the midterms, in a Democratic administration is the wrong time to be punishing your friends for insufficient loyalty. I don't know. Maybe a palace of justice on the White House lawn would be a good way to start. Maybe we could just build a palace of justice and import a bunch of good, sturdy Canadian hemp rope and, you know, get really serious about this. There's lots of insufficient loyalty in Congress these days, it seems. And our state houses, too. Republicans hold an unprecedented lead of 10 percentage points over Democrats. Now, this is the third or fourth time they've rolled these retreads out. Unprecedented? The Republicans have never held a 10 percentage point lead over Democrats in a midterm? I think not. Indicating potentially, quote-unquote, significant gains for the Republicans. Left, right, left, right. Space's wrong position? Space, 49 years old, is one of 34 House Democrats who voted against the health care bill earlier this year. When accounted for, he took the wrong position, said Seth Rosen. Rosen. Sounds very Irish to me. Cleveland, Ohio-based regional vice president for Communication Workers of America. That would be the Communitarians of America, Communication Workers of America. I don't belong to that union. Quote, our activist energy is not a blank check that people can take for granted. We're not part of the Democratic Party. Close quote. Our activist energy is not a blank check that people can take for granted. We're not part of the Democratic Party, and how true it is. How true it is. No, these are just an activist group. They're outside of the party. The only real party members, you can find that looking at the bylaws of the Democratic Party, and you're not one of them either, whether you believe you are or not. We're not going to pick a fight with anyone because they don't agree with us one time when 99% of the time we share their priorities. Andrew Rieke, the communications director for Space's campaign, said in a phone interview, Unions are also sitting out two House races in New York and a Senate contest in Arkansas, while backing a challenger against an incumbent in Massachusetts, so on and so forth. Well, what is the state, anyway? What is the state? I shared this with you before. I was going to go to the VJ Day, September the 2nd, 1945, when Japan signed a formal surrender. Maybe if there is time, I'll go there, but I don't think so. Just remember that that wasn't even mentioned in the news over the weekend. But anyway, what is the state? This out of the Proletarian Lessons, a dandy little book written by John Carricker. It's a 25-center. This was printed in the United States of America in a union printing shop. This was put out. When was it put out? I always stumble on that one because it's not listed in the front. A long, long time ago. This is an original book. I got this from a bookseller out in California in the city of San Francisco. And it's a genuine article. This is one of the little manuals that you'd go, that you would get if you went to a communist meeting, an organizing meeting, probably in San Francisco. But what is the state? Out of the Proletarian Lessons, this is Proletarian Lesson number 2. There are various opinions as to what the state or government is. You know, everybody's saying, well, I don't need government. Well, what's a state? The rise of statism. What is a state? How it originated and what its purpose. Now, according to the communists, you know, this is what they're saying. This is what they're teaching their people. And you have to realize that there's truth spoken to power in here. This is how you build the organization, regardless of the belief system behind it. You can't come out stupidly, or even the least educated mind might discover that it's a unreasoned, illogical argument, and they would lose interest, all right? So you put the best material you can into your propaganda. That's why I study this stuff, all right? So the old conception of the state was that it was of divine origin, all right, the divine right to rule, and that it functioned in the harmony with the will of God. That's the old conception of the state, that it was of divine origin, and it functioned in harmony with the will of God. The king and the aristocratic ruling class held their power direct from the Almighty. So that's how it starts. We'll be right back.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Thomas Jefferson said, paper is poverty, is only the ghost of money and not money itself. Well, here we are in 2010, and we know that all too well. We're in a global recession. The whole world is going for gold to back up their wealth. The only question is, where do you get your gold or precious metals? Forget the banks, forget Wall Street. Don't call a stranger or a fly-by-night gold broker. Get your gold from my guys that I trust at Wholesale Direct Metals. They have a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau and zero complaints by their customers. Wholesale Direct Metal also tries to beat everyone to your door by offering the best prices. Your gold is at your door quick and easy. Call Wholesale Direct Metals right now for free information. 800-806-6936. That's 800-806-6936. 800-806-6936. Tell them Jack Blood sent you.
Throughout history, the power to issue money has been used to enslave man into a perpetual system of debt. Power of the Purse Volume 1 is a 4-hour and 50-minute documentary film that dissects the true history of the people who have controlled the monetary systems of the world. It exposes how bankers have historically engineered artificial economic booms and busts to consolidate wealth and power. It exposes the role of powerful banking interests funding both sides of major wars. From the Knights Templar to the corrupt central banking powers of today, this documentary provides an in-depth chronological look at the influence these powerful financial institutions have had on this world. The many illusions of the modern-day monetary system and how it has been used to turn people into slaves is fully revealed. Purchase your 2-DVD disc copy today at PowerOfThePurseMovie.com. Again, that's PowerOfThePurseMovie.com.
Radio X, with your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So, returning once again to our proletarian lessons, this by John Carracher, K-E-R-A-C-H-E-R, written quite some very long time ago. I think this is about a 1939, 1940 edition here. A very interesting book. And this was published directly, you know, by and for the Communist Party as it was growing in this country. The king and the aristocratic ruling class held their power directly from the Almighty. This is the divine right of kings to rule. But in these days, there's only a shadow of that belief left. And this is a study of what is the state, proletarian lesson number 2. The divine rights of kings and governments have almost gone. The present conception of the state, we might say the vulgar conception, is that governments, quote-unquote, obtain their power by the consent of the governed. This is the recognized conception of the state. Such a view, of course, is in harmony with the interest of the capitalist class, all right, who control the press, the pulpit, and the educational system. The average worker who is trained to think along those lines believes, because he votes the way he is trained to, that he has something to do with the operation of the state. All right? The modern working class movement, which is as yet backward, contends that the state always has been the means whereby a ruling class holds a subject class in check. Karl Marx described it as the, quote, public power of coercion, close quote. Right? That's just the beginning, proletarian lesson number 2. There's a whole bunch that we can talk about on Labor Day. Certainly looking at labor in an encyclopedia is a study of many, many pages. There's a lot that far more than we could cover in any one day. I'm seeing here, looks to me like close to 30 pages in this Encyclopedia Americana under the heading of labor and all of its various classifications and subtitles. Labor departments, labor exchanges, labor legislation. Let's see what else we've got in here. Labor relations. Let's start here. Labor exchanges. It's a name sometimes applied to employment bureaus, right? A labor exchange. Some 473,000 people went in and file a claim at a labor exchange somewhere in America each week. Labor exchanges. Employment bureaus. It was also a term given to a class of institutions founded by the followers of Robert Owen. Robert Owen. Anybody remember Robert Owen from our studies? Think about England. Think about Manchester. Think about the writings of Karl Mordecai Marx in Das Kapital, where he eloquently lays out the history of the rewilding, if you will, of the Highlands of Scotland, driving the Highlanders down and into the arms, the waiting arms of the industrialists. In the beginnings of the Industrial Revolution and letting the king's beasts and deer take over their lands, taking down all of their fences and tearing out their homes and just rewilding Scotland. Right? Robert Owen, rather interesting fellow. Robert Owen. He basically came up with this idea of a factory town for mill workers, where you would work at his woolen mills in Manchester, England, and you would live in one of their dormitories, the women often, and the men as well, but the women often stuffed into almost like coffin-like things where they'd slip in from one end. Sometimes the rooms would have a window, sometimes the rooms would not have a window, and they've stacked them in there, stacked them and packed them so tightly that oftentimes a woman or another male worker or child worker would actually asphyxiate and die overnight. Really delightful quarters. But anyway, they had their company store, they had their company restaurant, they had their company entertainments, much the same way that Ford and General Motors and General Electric and AC Delco and others have created factory towns, Boeing, you know, with Everett, Washington, have created factory towns wherever they build a factory. Much the same way as houses seem to miraculously spring up all around a new Walmart, just because Walmart comes to town. But again, these were designed to bring about an exchange of products of labor without the intervention of money. Labor exchanges, interesting now. These were designed to bring about an exchange of products of labor without the intervention of money. Notice how that theme was expanded with the creation of the Federal Reserve banking system. Are we not today exchanging the products of our labor without the intervention of any money? Money being gold and silver coin. Many stores were founded for the purpose and sale of commodities for labor notes. Labor notes. You heard about the, you know, people that are starting these dollar, you know, what do they call them? The dollar currencies. What are they? Dollar hour or something like that. They're all around. All these community currencies. Many stores were founded for the purchase and sale of commodities for labor notes. Isn't that what your Federal Reserve note really is? The amount of time spent in producing a commodity being the basis of its value. Different classes of labor were all valued alike. The plan was soon found impracticable, however, probably because it competed with what the Rothschilds had in mind. Labor legislation goes on extensively. The labor legislation today covers a broad group of laws embodying governmental policies on economic and social status of workers. That would be ECOSOCH. That's the United Nations Agenda 21. In most industrial countries, labor legislation began during the early stages of the factory system as a desultory attempt to regulate child labor. And that's the labor laws and the poor laws. This is the time of Jeremy Bentham in England. This is the beginning of the philosophical radicals. These first laws were little more than an expression of policy against the exploitation of very young children. The comprehensive body of laws now in effect includes not only corrective and protective measures, but also legislation establishing certain basic rights of labor. The first step was the enactment of laws to protect women and children from excessive hours and to safeguard all workers against hazardous working conditions. Of course, in the Warden June Cleaver post-America that we live in today, we've reversed that trend. And now we want to have the women in business and at work just alongside the men. And the children are off to the concentration camps during the daytime, called schools. All right. And these laws achieved results only as they were gradually reinforced by factory inspection with police power. Police powers, that's government, that's big business. The next step was the recognition of labor's right to promote its own safety and welfare through mutual associations. These are the beginning of your labor unions, of course. And we talked about some mining-related information on Sunday with Sean on Radio X. The resulting laws include measures guaranteeing labor's right to organize, to strike, and to bargain collectively. Of course, this is Labor Day. This is the fruit of this labor long ago. Continuing, and extending the help of government in promoting industrial peace and fair treatment through mediation, conciliation, and arbitration. It's a closed loop. It's a circle. Will the circle ever be unbroken? The most recent step has been the enactment of laws expressing the obligation of society as a whole to the worker. These are the social safety nets. These are your entitlements, you see. These measures include insurance against occupational accidents, that would be OSHA, and diseases, unemployment, sickness, and indigence, old age, minimum wages, overtime, and certain basic hours of work. We'll be back.
To the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Take Cardivite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cardivite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cardivite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cardivite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cardivite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tones the entire circulatory system. You can order Cardivite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises, as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
Live free and be prepared. cPanel.com brings you the new patent-pending SunFlow RXL, your 4-in-1 solar hot water heater and water distillation system. Connect to your garden hose, place in a sunny spot. SunFlow RXL solar distills bottle-quality water from undrinkable tap water. Remove fluoride and contaminants that pass through ordinary filters. Solar heat water for cooking, cleaning, and showering. Save hundreds on your utility bills. In case of emergency or disaster, you'll have 20 gallons of fresh water which can't drain into empty city water lines. If things get worse, pour ocean or contaminated water into the unit and make up to 10 bottles per day of delicious solar distilled water with no filters to clog. The SunFlow RXL sets up in seconds and fits in many bug-out bags, perfect for off-grid and camping. Includes several feet of tubing to reach your kitchen. Please visit cPanel.com, spelled S-E-A-Panel.com. Systems start at $99. Enter Oracle into the coupon box for a free stainless steel card knife. cPanel.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again looking at this very old article here in the Encyclopedia Americana. This back from about 1950s when it was published, but the article, from everything I can see in it, was published much, much earlier than that. Let's go in a little bit further here. Labor legislation in the United States. The people who were writing in the days that this article was published, you know, this was all basically new news. Everybody knew this information. Of course, you don't get it in your schools these days. This has all been forgotten, but this is Labor Day. So maybe we should remember where this all started from. Labor legislation existed in colonial and early Republican America. Early Republican America. Seems they are on the right track still. In direct contrast to its purpose today, it was then directed to restrict and control workers. To restrict and control workers. For example, colonial statutes prohibited the payment of wages beyond a specified maximum instead of providing a floor for wages. All right? Instead of saying a minimum wage will now be $7.50 for everybody that flips burgers at Mickey D's, instead, they'll say nobody that flips burgers for Mickey D's should get more than $7.50 an hour to flip those burgers. And if you don't like it, don't work for them. Just two sides of the same coin. But it was interesting. They set maximum wages. I wonder what the maximum wage would be for a Wall Street stockbroker. And the early laws branded as conspiracy, the organization of workers for promoting and protecting their own interests. Once was a time. Anyway, but the maximum wage laws could not operate effectively in a new country where labor was desperately needed, and the doctrine of conspiracy proved foreign to the American concept of the dignity of labor. So labor legislation became legislation for labor, not against it. As in other countries, early efforts in behalf of labor sought first to control working hours and the age limits of children enjoyed in textile mills. Under the United States system of government, powers not specifically granted to the federal government by the Constitution are reserved to the states. See how frank they spoke in the 1950s. Hence, the individual states enacted practically all of the early labor legislation, with the result that there was a great variation in laws from state to state. All that has changed. It brings in the Uniform Law Commission, the Model Codes, the Model Acts, doing end runs on federal and state constitutions by floating into the state houses all across America the same blessed bill. And everyone looks at it and goes, aha, this is just what we need. Boy, we've been waiting for this legislation for a long time. Isn't Arizona progressive? When everybody has the same bill in an envelope in their desk. Hence, the individual states again enacted practically all of the early labor legislation, with the result that there was a great variation in laws from state to state. And so if you didn't like the labor laws in Oklahoma, you could go to New Jersey. If you didn't like it in New Jersey, you could go to North Carolina. If you didn't like it in North Carolina, you could come to Missouri or out to California or get on up to Washington. Go where the laws fit you. But now it's one size fits all. One size fits all. Federal labor legislation is based on the power of Congress to control what? Interstate commerce. Interstate commerce. This brings up the discussion of credit mobilier, which you've had in the past, all right? It wasn't until the railroads came on the scenes that the call, the hue and cry went out to have regulation on interstate commerce. And we've suffered from it ever since. The Uniform Commercial Code was immediately following. Most of the early federal labor laws dealt with railroads and their employees without extending on into other industries. So such as something begins, it sounds like a good idea one place. The next thing you know, it's everywhere and you can't get away from it. Gradually a broadening concept of interstate commerce. You see how broad that has become now, where even health care is considered to fall under interstate commerce. Gradually, a broadening concept of interstate commerce led to the enactment of far-reaching federal legislation. You say goodnight to the constitutions. The years since 1932 have witnessed a great advance in the field of labor and social legislation. Socialism. Social legislation. In the brief period of its operation, the National Industrial Recovery Act of 1933. National Industrial Recovery Act. Now, we were talking about the Bank of Reconstruction and Development earlier with New Zealand and pipeline corridor. The National Industrial Recovery Act of 1933. That would be Franklin Delano Roosevelt, brought for the first time on a national scale a shorter work week minimum wage scales, and a substantial improvement in safety and health measures. Of course, when we went down to the 40-hour work week, that was quite an improvement. Today, the average employee is working about 34.2 hours a week, according to EconoDay. We reported on that last week. 34 hours. So even though you might have a 40-hour job, you only get 34 hours, you don't qualify for full-time employment. That means you're part-time, which means the employer doesn't have to provide any benefits. No benefits added. So it's just minimum wage and nothing on the outside. Interesting. I wonder if we'll reduce the hours of a work day. Well, they wouldn't be able to reduce it to 7 hours, although that would do the job. So they might have to reduce the hours to 6 hours. The way they've got it set up now with an 8-hour work day, you could work 3 shifts in a 24-hour period. It would be kind of cumbersome to make the minimum or the work day at 7 hours because it doesn't go into 24 smoothly. So perhaps what we need to do is take the average work day in America down to 6 hours. So you could call yourself a full-time employee working 6 hours a day. There could be, instead of 3 shifts a day at the factory, there could be 4. Maybe, if you were really lucky, you would get to work 2 shifts. So you could go back to the old 12-hour day again. Funny how things go around and round in circles. This law and the National Labor Relations Act, which followed, established government recognition of labor's rights to organize and bargain collectively with employers. And, of course, today, all across America, around the world, but all across America for sure, all of our, quote-unquote, government workers are unionized, and they collectively bargain against we the people for ever greater wages. And today, on the Reinvention of America, Al Gore and Bill Clinton principle, employees that work for government corporations earn more than anyone in the private sector, and dramatically more, with much better benefits, too, and retirement packages, and places to park, and maybe they get to drive one of those brand new fleet vehicles, etc., and so on. Wages and hours? Practically all the states have enacted legislation limiting the number of hours of labor and regulating the working conditions of women and children. Working conditions include sanitary and rest facilities, meal and rest periods, and standards of employment in occupations and hazardous, especially occupations hazardous for women and children. All but 5 states, again, this is written a long time ago now, have some regulation of the daily hours of work of women, and almost all of these have weekly limitations. Maximum hours range from an 8-hour day in specified industries in many states to a 10-hour day allowed by a few states in one or more industries, so women could work for 10 hours if they want to. But remember, excuse me, this legislation only applied to women and children. It didn't apply to the men. So the men continued on working 12, 14, 16-hour days, where the women could work no more than 10 and children no more than 10 either. In most states, or most cases, these laws did not permit overtime. Some states prohibit night work for women, and almost every state places restrictions on night work for minors. All right? So it's pretty interesting stuff. And then it goes on, and it continues to build and to grow. I wanted to go over here to the labor movement in America, as long as we're talking about proletarian lessons. Let's find out a little bit more about that. The labor movement is a term applied to the conscious, united, and persistent efforts of the wage-earning people to improve their economic and social conditions. You know, workers of the world unite. You know, raise that clenched fist, brother. Fluff out your afro, your fro, you know. Yo, dude, get down. Unite. These efforts have sometimes been conducted on the economic level, sometimes on the political plane, and at other times on both. It is, however, the trade or industry unions that have been the chief instruments of labor's progress. Well, we'll pick it up right there, right after this.
The
Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Recently published long-term studies have added to concerns that cell phone radiation may be linked to various human health effects. Mobile phone radiation heats the side of the head and thermoelectrically interacts with the brain. Bluetooth devices and unshielded headsets convert the user's head into an effective, potentially self-harming antenna. Pong is the first scientifically proven radiation form-fitting case that protects your iPhone and latest BlackBerry models from the rigors of heavy-duty use. Pong uses a patent physics-based solution to redirect the flow of this energy. Pong also reduces intense EFI hotspot radiation by over 85%. Pong's special silicone formula guarantees that your phone maintains full signal strength and battery life. Pong is certified by FCC-accredited test agencies to reduce cell phone radiation using the SAR analysis method. To get yours today, go to the OracleBroadcasting.com website and click on the banner in the center of the page that says Reduce Radiation Now.
Don't miss 33rd Parallel News Radio with your host, Matt Kazee, Saturdays at 8 p.m. Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And so the workers' revolution continues now globally and locally. So we'll go back into the history. The first organized action of American wage earners was a strike at the Philadelphia printers. There's Philadelphia for you, near Philly, in Jersey. Morning, Dong. A strike of Philadelphia printers for a $6 a week wage in 1786. I like that one. $6 a week. And you could go to the Dollar General store six times, too. The birth of modern trade unionism in America may properly be assigned to this date. Okay, you want it? There it is. I'll give it to you again. The first organized action of American wage earners was a strike of Philadelphia printers for a $6 a week wage in 1786, the birth of modern trade unionism in America. It's a little bit before Karl Mordecai Marx's time. Organized action among the cordwainers, the shipwrights, and the tailors in Philadelphia and New York City were noted in the next two decades. Industry, and with it the industrial population, was expanding in the first decades of the 19th century. We were going through growing pains. We're moving out of the agrarian time period, the three-field feudal serfdom, and we were moving into industrialized America. We were coming out of mercantilism into industrialism. This change is illustrated in the shoe industry, where the master at first produced a bespoke or a bespoke or a custom order product and employed a journeyman to meet this demand. Journeyman, there's your journeyman again. Now we're back into the mysteries, you know, the mysteries, the Masons, the Schumachers, the Cartwrights, and all of those families. Again, an employed journeyman to meet this demand. What's a journeyman? Well, you have to apprentice for a while, young man, to become a journeyman. Some people would sign up and apprentice for 7 years. Some apprenticed for much longer time periods. But when at last they were able to meet the journeyman level, then they would be given tools, basic tools, by your master and released as a journeyman. Then you could become a master. Once you became a master mason, you could become a fellow traveler and go to another place and build another cathedral for the church. You know, that's the way it worked in those days. It's pretty tricky to work stone like that. How do you make a Gothic arch anyway out of blocks of stone? This change is illustrated again in the shoe industry, where the master, your master Schumacher, at first produced a bespoke or custom order product, and someone spoke for it, they bespoked for it, custom order product, and employed journeymen to meet this demand. Improved transportation led to the widening of markets and the entrance of the merchant capitalist. Merchant capitalist in law, that's lex mercatoria, the law merchant. Merchant capitalist who stocked up and held their goods for sale. So under lex mercatoria, you come in, this is warehousing, all right? Warehousing. These merchant capitalists began to compete among themselves. That's what always happens. The wolves just start chewing on each other and chewing on each other, and they absorb the Lehman Brothers, and Goldman Sachs just continues to suck and suck and suck. All right. These merchant capitalists began to compete among themselves, and competition led to pressure upon wages, which in turn was followed by organization among the wage earners. You see how that works? It's the competition from the top that creates the wage earners at the bottom, when then they organize. It's the same thing in the environmental movement, Beyond Petroleum, British Petroleum, and the others, the Rockefellers, financing Earth First, Sierra Club, Nature Conservancy, World Wildlife Federation, and all of the bugs and bunny groups. It has nothing to do with the environment. Again, these merchant capitalists began to compete among themselves, and competition led to pressure among wages, which in turn was followed by organizers or organization among the wage earners. By the 1820s, printers, shoemakers, hatters, tailors, weavers, and others were organizing into unions and were demanding increased wages and shorter hours. Right? Shoemakers, hatters, tailors, weavers, and others. Though soon the movement assumed a political character, the turning of the early labor movement towards political action was no mere accident, for many of its demands could only be achieved through legislation. Right? This is the beginning of the control of government through the influence of the unions. And we just read this article, these articles, you know, about Chris Van Hollen and the rest of them up here, the Communication Workers of America, Communication Workers of America Unite, leaders of the organized labor helped the Democrats win the White House and expand their control of Congress 2 years ago. Representative Zach Space, two-term Democrat, now being outed by the labor unions, right? became turned political. As the well-to-do could afford the fine, labor felt that the system of discriminated against the poor. In addition, labor sought the enactment of a mechanics lien law, opposed monopolies, and sought the lease of the public lands to actual settlers. We're going to see how that develops. Lease of the public lands to actual settlers. The idea of the mechanics lien law. How do you collect your money? If you happen to be putting in hardwood flooring in somebody's office space, or refinishing their floors, or building an entry or something like that, and the jerk stiffs you. In the old days, you were SOL. If you didn't have a sword or handgun, you just couldn't collect. So you had to have the mechanics lien law. You'd file a lien on their property and get paid that way. They opposed monopolies, and that's a good thing. Too bad they failed in that. And sought the lease of the public lands to actual settlers. There's a lot more to that than meets the eye. Trade unionism reached the coming out stage in Philadelphia in 1827. They came out of the closet, trade unionism, in 1827. Up to then, each union had acted alone, independently of the other. In 1827, several local unions in Philadelphia formed the Mechanics Union of Trade Association. The Mechanics Union of Trade Association. What is a mechanic? What is a mechanic? What a vast change. You know, an engineer was a mechanic. A civil engineer, structural engineer, mechanical engineer, they could be known as mechanics. Iron workers, ironmongers, blacksmiths were known as mechanics. The mechanics would sit down and they would do a mechanical drawing. You would come in and you would say, boy, it'd sure be nice if I had a steam engine. Well, what's that? Well, I don't know, but it would sure be nice if I had a steam engine. And the mechanic would scratch his head and go to his drawing board and sit down. A couple weeks later, he'd have some drawings and say, well, Mr. Fulton, does this look like what you had in mind? It's a steam engine. By golly, that's nice. How much will they cost? How soon can we have one? Well, we'll have to invent other things first, but we'll have a steam engine for you by, how about next Tuesday? And the mechanics would build it. Okay. That was the old days. Today, you would have to go to the government and apply for a patent, and maybe 8 or 10 years from now, it might be granted after some one of their brothers or sisters were already well into the steam locomotive business. The association tried to weld the various unions together for common action and around a common program. Common action. Common programs. All right? AFL-CIO. After a brief flirtation with politics, these new organizations or groups of organizations settled down and concerned themselves largely with industrial and social issues. Notice in the article here, leaders of organized labor helped the Democrats to win. But what's the comment here? Each union should have the right to support whoever they want to support based on the issues, he says, they care about. Karen Ackerman said, where is that quote? I was trying to find it. Where is that quote? I'll find it during the next break. Oh, yeah. Yes, here we go. We're not going to pick a fight with anyone because they don't agree with us one time when 99% of the time we share their priorities. That's still not the quote. Our activist energy is not a black check that people can take for granted. We're not part of the Democratic Party. Fickle friends, these unions. Fickle friends indeed. Right? Right to organize, finally. The attempt of workers to organize and to raise wages and to regulate conditions of work did not go unchallenged. Not only did the employers or the masters combine to meet this threat, but in a number of instances, unionists were prosecuted for conspiracy. And we'll get back to the conspiracies in a moment, but just think about it. Once you go into this idea of every man, one vote, that spells the end, folks. That spells the end. Why? Well, because the mob then, instead of having a Republican form of government, which they spoke about earlier in the article, we began the transition, the terrible transition, to a democracy. One man, one vote. And so what happened was is that the masses were able to outnumber the lessers, the capitalists, the entrepreneur, and they then fell under the spell of the masses. Well, we'll pick it up right there. Oh, we won't. We're all out of time. Bye. This day went by. Thanks for listening. I'll be back again tomorrow. Until then, good day.
Taking it back one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Does Ordinary Talk Radio give you the laws?
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.